Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps on this March the 1st, 2026. Again, welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast concerning my morning message with regard to Ezekiel 38, concerning the future Russian invasion of Israel that they will be accompanied by Iran or Persia. This has a great bearing on what we have to say today, what I have to say today, in that this attack on Iran has several purposes in biblical prophecy. The first purpose is for the destruction of the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. I've said this for many years. There has to be a war in that area, in Israel, concerning Jerusalem, so that these mosques can be destroyed. This was almost done in 1967, when the government of Israel, run by the Pope, attacked the USS Liberty, intending to sink it, and had not one great sailor on the USS Liberty got a message out, it would have been sunk. And what was the design? According to the 4-DVD set, Sacrificing Liberty, which is an excellent documentary, however it blames Israel for the attack and not the Pope, namely LBJ Francis Cardinal Spellman, and hence the Jesuits of Fordham in Georgetown, it's a very well-done documentary, and it shows that one of the things that was threatened by the Soviets, it was that if the U.S. invaded Egypt, because the design was to sink the USS Liberty, blame Egypt, justify an American marine invasion of Egypt, and the Russians, of course they're controlled by the Jesuits too, they said if you attack into Egypt, we will launch our conventional weapons from our Russian sub in the Mediterranean into Jerusalem and destroy the Muslim mosques. That was the design. Both sides working together, subject to the Pope. Well, it didn't work. But now they have brilliantly arranged this attack on February 28th, 2026 to defeat Iran, and also to remove its political tyrant, responsible for the death of tens of thousands of his own people, murdering them. So I rejoice in the invasion of Iran. I think it's great. I think they're going to neutralize this tyrant. This tyrant ultimately was put in power by the CIA, and John Rappaport gives some very good proof of that. But again, the Jesuits always control both sides of every conflict, and the targets are targeted populations and even targeted leaders when they're done with them. And so I maintain this attack into Iran is targeting the Shia population of Iran. Remember that the state religion of the Islamic Republic of Iran is Shia Islam, even though only 50% of the people there are Shia Muslims. So this is going to be the end of any political power of Shia Islam. Remember, Shia Islam was not created by the papacy. It's an offshoot as a result of the death of the false prophet Muhammad. And it's the papacy that had created Sunni Islam. And the Seventh-day Adventists have put together an excellent video showing or proving this fact, that the papacy is the real creator of Sunni Islam. And that today, the Sunni Islamic Muslims, their leaders are controlled by the Pope of Rome and specifically the King of Saudi Arabia. Which breeds a whole new topic, why Saudi Arabia has merged its intelligence network with the government of Israel, also working for the Pope. And hence we have this unification of Israeli intelligence, Mossad, with Saudi Arabian intelligence. And this is exactly what is to happen if the Jesuit order is to create a second Sunni caliphate. That second Sunni caliphate is only possible if they get rid of this Iranian Shia Islam, which is being done right now. And this has to be done because the Jesuits cannot have an open door for missiles to be fired from Shia Iran into Israel and ultimately destroy a third Hebrew temple that is yet to be built. So therefore, since the third Hebrew temple is being planned to be built, and Pete Hegseth is very vocal about this, the U.S. Secretary of War, before that temple can be built, they have to eliminate any possibility of that temple being destroyed by missiles from Iran. So this is the key reason why Iran is being attacked right now. And it should be. It's been killing Jews for years. It was behind the Hamas attack when they killed somewhat 1,200 innocent Jewish people back on October 7th, the day of the Battle of Lepanto, many years ago. And so they deserve it. This is the curse of the Abrahamic covenant being put upon Iran. I'll bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We see that in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, and other places. It's the land promise given to the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites with a blessing and a curse depending on how the Gentile nations treat the Jewish people and their land. So, the curse of the Abrahamic covenant is now upon Iran and the government Iran. And unfortunately, the Iranian people, even though somewhat 30,000 of them, 37,000 of them, have been murdered recently by the Kukumani, working for the Pope, to justify this action of invasion or attack into Iran for the destruction of the Shia. Hence, this leader of the Shia was part of the plot, even though he allegedly was killed. And I wonder about that. So, we have this attack of yesterday into Shia Iran, a highly coordinated attack between Israel and the U.S. And now it's been neutralized. So once again, this attack into Iran to remove the savage military dictator there, who is apparently now gone, is a good thing, but its purpose, its secret but true purpose, was to be able to protect the building of the third Hebrew temple. And the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, was very clear when he spoke about this, when he went to Israel several months ago, that they want to build the third Hebrew temple. And his book that he authored, American Crusade, it's a very good book. Most of the things I read in there I'm in total agreement with. However, Pete Hegseth is a Roman Catholic, Knight of the Equestrian Order, with his real allegiance to the Pope of Rome. And the Pope of Rome wants this American crusade against Shia Islam for the purpose of protecting his revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem and the third Hebrew temple that must be built according to the Word of God. We read in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the most important prophecy, timeline prophecy of the entire Old Testament. And for a full understanding, I recommend that you get the book, 70 Weeks of Daniel, by it's being offered by the Friends of Israel, and the author of the little work, probably 50 pages or so, is Alva J. McLean. He wrote another great work called The Greatness of the Kingdom, one of the very greatest works on the millennial kingdom of Christ, Jesus Christ the Messiah. And so he writes this, the prophet Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks, and it's verses 24 to 27, and the most important verse we're going to read for this broadcast or podcast is verse 27, 26 and 27. And after 62 weeks, that's after 483 years, their weeks of years, Messiah shall be cut off. Shall Messiah be cut off? He'll be killed but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. The people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come is not the Messiah. He's other than the Messiah. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, the people that destroyed the city and the sanctuary, which is the temple, were the Romans. And they did that 38 years after Christ had been crucified, buried, and risen from the dead in AD 32. So, the people of the prince that shall come, the Romans, hence the prince that's coming is a Roman pope, a Roman world dictator, the Roman Antichrist, as I've taught many times. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So this is the few little words concerning this dispensation. During the in between the 69th and 70th week, it's war and desolations. Now in verse 27, and he, who's the he? The he is the prince that shall come. It's not the Messiah. And he shall confirm the covenant. There will be a specific covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. So this is the covenant of the coming prince. This is the covenant of the coming prince that shall come, who is Roman. And he shall confirm this covenant for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, after 3.5 years, namely, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. If there is a sacrifice and oblation, there is a third Hebrew temple in place. After it's built after the destruction of the temple that we see in verse 26. The sanctuary is destroyed in verse 26. That's the second temple. That's the Herodian temple, the temple of Messiah's day. But there will be a third temple, verse 27. And the beast, the Antichrist, the final pope of Rome, slain with a sword, risen from the dead, Revelation 13, 14, causes the sacrifice, the temple sacrifice, and the temple oblation to cease. So in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, where there is a third Hebrew temple in place, the beast, the Antichrist, causes the sacrifices to cease, and he will go down into this third Hebrew temple and demand to be worshipped as God. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, that's the day of Christ, which is the appearing, or the rapture, if you want to use that word, I use appearing. That day shall not come, except there come, or pardon me, it's, I'll just start with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that's the appearing, when we're gathered together to be with him at his appearing. When Christ comes for the bodies of the believers composing his church, the first the dead bodies, and then the living bodies, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ is the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. So the day of Christ, or the day of the Lord, is, don't be shaken in mind, because that day of the Lord, it cannot come unless something happens first. So we see verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's the departure of the church, the bodies of the people composing the church, till there come the falling away first. That's hey apostasia. It's a specific departure. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the man of sin, it can only be revealed after the departure, after the church breaks camp, after Christ comes for the bodies of his saints, the living, the dead, and then the living. We know of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It goes on, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is not the church. It's a physical Hebrew temple that's in existence in the future. And this man of sin, this son of perdition, will go down into this third Hebrew temple and demand to be worshipped as God. We go on. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or restrains will let until he be taken out of the way. Of course, that's the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can restrain Satan. Only the third person of the Godhead has the power to restrain Satan. And then shall that wicked, the wicked one, this is the one there, the son of perdition, the man of sin, the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So, this man of sin, this son of perdition, can only come to power after the appearing of Christ, when the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, departs this world and goes back into heaven. And we, those of us in Christ, our bodies are taken by him into the third heaven, or into the air, to meet Christ there in the air, and then it's home to the third heaven. But that gathering together, the departure has to happen first, then the man of sin can be revealed. The man of sin is revealed when he causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and he goes down into this third Hebrew temple and demands to be worshipped as God. Well, who is this man? Why, it's the seventh Roman Caesar of Revelation 17. The seventh Roman Caesar, he's the one, he's Roman because the people of the prince that shall come destroy the temple and the city in AD 70. They're Romans. Hence, the prince that's going to come is Roman. He's a Roman Catholic. He's a Roman Pope. He's a prince. And when this final Pope comes to power, he has a covenant with many nations that brings a temporary peace to Israel. But at the same time, this peace that he institutes, this covenant that he institutes, it will be taking place after the building of the third Hebrew temple. Because it's during this week of years, after the first 3.5 years, that he causes the temple sacrifice, the temple oblation, to cease. Because this final Pope of Rome will be killed, rise from the dead, to sit and then to be indwelt by Satan, and then to sit in the third Hebrew temple and demand to be worshipped as God. So, the purpose of the third Hebrew temple is not for the Pope, not for the Jewish people, even though the Lord calls it the temple of God in Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 1. The purpose of the third Hebrew temple is for the Pope. And remember, the Temple Mount had been deeded to the Vatican in September of 1993, according to the Italian newspaper La Stampa, confirmed by my late friends Barry Chamish and Joel Bannerman, who used to write the tremendous periodical called Inside Israel, and they were my friends for years until they passed away. And they are the ones that proved to me that Yossi Bellin is the one who deeded the Temple Mount in Jerusalem to the Vatican. And it's on this Temple Mount in Jerusalem that exist these two Muslim mosques. One is the Dome of the Rock, the other is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They have to be removed. Now, there's a book that was written titled The Temple Revealed, The True Location of the Jewish Temple Hidden in Plain Sight, by Christian Weidner, PhD, forward by Josh McDowell. This author maintains that the temple can be built without the removal of the Dome of the Rock or the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount. That is incorrect. It is an erroneous conclusion. Through some internal evidence regarding a couple matters like the Eastern Gate, but I won't get into that right now. And so this book is a big seller, but it's not true. these mosques, this Dome of the Rock, that abomination that says God has no son. Here, O Muslims, God has no son. This mosque and also the this Dome of the Rock, as well as the Al-Aqsa Mosque, have to be removed from the Temple Mount because the Pope will not share his glory with some other religion. Especially the Pope is Antichrist. That temple is going to be built. And so to pave the way for the building of this third temple, Shia Iran has to be eliminated. The ability for them to shoot these missiles into Israel and to hit the rebuilt third Hebrew temple will not be possible. You say, well, it's the U.S. that trained Iran. The U.S., I was in the Air Force. We had Iranian students with us in our missile guidance class. The technology that Iran has, they got from U.S. as well as Russia. Of course, Russian technology is nothing compared to American technology. So what this is, it's a calculated war to justify the extermination of 50% of the population in Iran that is Shia. And those that survive can run into the arms of the Sunnis, overseen by the Wahhabis and the Jesuits through their British Empire, created Wahhabi Islam. That's 10 times more fanatical than regular Sunni Islam. So this is a key play in history for those of us that are alive today. It's going to be the elimination of Shia Islam and the Iran that is a threat to the Pope's revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, which we call Israel, which God calls Israel in Ezekiel 38. So the Jews are in their land. It's the promised land, still given to them, and the Lord even calls it my land in Ezekiel 38. And when you persecute the Jews when it comes to their land and the promise that Almighty God has given to them with the land promise, get ready for a curse coming your way. And that's what's on Iran right now. The Lord using the American military to bring upon the Abrahamic curse to the nation, to the people of the nation of Iran. So now, I say that's the real purpose for this war, to pave the way for the building of the third Hebrew temple. We read in Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God." The temple of God. Yeah, built after this war? That's right. Aided by the Pope? That's right. Well, Herod was a servant of the devil, and he was busy adding on to the second temple. And the Lord Jesus Christ considered it to be the second temple. The King of Tyre, who helped Solomon provide materials for Solomon's temple. Well, the King of Tyre was an unsaved man. So the Lord uses unsaved people, unsaved rulers, to further his counsel and to build his house, to build his first temple, his second temple, and the third temple. The fourth temple will be built by the Lord Jesus Christ himself at his second coming when he inaugurates his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. We read in Ezekiel 48. But this is the third temple. And so we see, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city, which is Jerusalem, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Jerusalem will be tread underfoot by the Gentiles for 42 months, particularly led by the king of the Gentiles, which will be the Antichrist, the beast, who will not be a Jew. He will be a Gentile, and I maintain a white race Gentile if he is Roman, because the Romans destroyed the second temple. And this is the people, this is the prince that shall come, and his people were Romans." Daniel 9, 26, 27. Christ himself speaks of the existence of a third Hebrew temple. We read in Matthew 24, verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, in the book of Mark it says, where it not ought to be. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Whoso reads the prophet Daniel, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. And pray, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. To 42 months. 42 months, Revelation 13, verse 4. Okay? So, this abomination that makes desolate, that desolates the temple, is when the final Pope of Rome, slain with a sword, rises from the dead, indwelt by Satan, goes to Jerusalem and sits in the third Hebrew temple, demanding to be worshipped as God for pursuant to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Has to be a third Hebrew temple. So, do you think Satan wants a third Hebrew temple? Do you think God does? God wants it, and so does Satan. So, this war against Iran is securing the Temple Mount so that when Iran is neutralized and can no longer shoot their missiles into Israel, because there's no other country around there that is a threat that would do that, now they will be ready to build the third Hebrew temple. And all the brother Freemasons of all the different countries will work to facilitate that. Whether they be Muslim Freemasons, Catholic Freemasons, Jewish Freemasons, all of them, the religion of Freemasonry, which is of the devil, that's going to facilitate that Knights, that Templar religion for the building of what the Knights of the Poor Temple always wanted, the Poor Knights of the Temple, to build Solomon's Temple or to build a third Hebrew temple. You see how this religion is the guiding light rather than just economics or policies? Or politics? There has to be a third Hebrew temple. Now, I'm going to read to you from Days of Our Years by Pierre Van Passen how the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, that criminal, knew and believed that the Jews, the Zionists, were intending to build a third Hebrew temple. But he never said it was for the Pope, because remember, the labor Zionists work for the Pope. They do not work for the benefit of the Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people living in their own land, promised and given to them with the Abrahamic covenant. The labor Zionists are busy working for the Pope and do his bidding, and right now they're doing his bidding to secure Jerusalem for the building of a third Hebrew temple. I'll go to you and I'll read to you now this book, Pierre Van Passen's work, Days of Our Years. We read on page 398 of Days of Our Years, written by Pierre Van Passen in 1939. We read, but since nobody could deny that the Jewish influx was highly beneficial and profitable to the Arab fella, the Arab urban worker, and the small Arab businessman, false issues had to be concocted in order to mislead the illiterate and credulous Arab population. In 1929, the Mufti raised the issue of religion. Behind the peaceful behavior of the Jews loomed a sinister design to secure a numerical majority in the country. Once that was attained, the great mosque in Jerusalem was to be replaced with a Hebrew sanctuary. Now, Pierre Van Passen denies this, and he goes on to say, for months this myth was assiduously disseminated throughout the Muslim religious circles all over the country until, with the incident of a small group of Jewish Boy Scouts in August 1929, the attack was launched. So, Pierre Van Passen didn't believe this was really going to happen, but those Muslims knew. They knew that there would be a numerical superiority, and then that there would be a Hebrew sanctuary that would be built on the ruins of the Muslim mosques, and that's on page 398, written in 1939. We read on page 366, at the top of the page, the sun had imposed a golden luster on the ochre facades of the kiosks. Above the treetops, against the incense blue of the Judean hills, I could see the gleaming porcelain dome of the great Byzantine mosque with its challenging inscription, quote, "Remember, Muslims, God has no son," unquote. Quote, "That is the sanctuary," unquote, said the grand, quote-unquote, Mufti, at my elbow, quote, "the Jews want to tear down. Here they plan to rebuild the Temple of Solomon," unquote. "Do they?" I asked in surprise. "I have never heard of that." "Oh, but that is common knowledge," His Eminence nodded, and stepping over to a small Louis the 16th secretary, remember Louis the 16th was beheaded by the Jesuit Jacobins, Louis the 16th secretary, he drew out a sheet of paper and read, quote, "Lord Melchett declared that he will consecrate the remainder of his life to rebuild the Jewish temple," unquote. "And here is something else," added the grand, quote-unquote, Mufti. Quote, "Professor Einstein believes that Palestine without the temple is to the Jews like a body without a head. Do you see the real aims of the Jews? They want to destroy this mosque," unquote. So here we have written in 1939 this design for the destruction of the mosques in Jerusalem, or the Dome of the Rock in particular, to then have the third Hebrew temple built. And this is exactly according to Scripture. Scripture teaches there must be a third Hebrew temple to facilitate the coming Antichrist, the final Pope of Rome, slain with a sword and risen from the dead. And so we have Pete Hegseth, who's conducting a papal crusade as the Secretary of War for Donald Trump into the Middle East and securing the Temple Mount from any possible missile attacks by Iran. So they're going to take out Iran, and the Lord will use them to punish Iran pursuant to the curse of the Abrahamic curse given by God to Abraham. "I'll bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee." So there's a couple things going on here. But there's more. Remember, the Jesuits want to destroy historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization. And they've already done so with Protestantism. Protestantism is done. It's finished. Protestants don't even read the Protestant Bible anymore, which is the AV 1611 King James Bible or the Luther German Bible. These Protestants are not reading the Protestant Bible translated from the real scriptures. So Protestantism is apostate, and they don't protest Romanism. So now, since the country's no longer Protestant, no longer Bible reading, and no longer Baptist Protestant, it appears now that the government that's more fitting for an apostate people and mixed pagans in the midst of all of us from all these different nations is a military dictatorship. Charlie Kirk was right. This population is unfit for a constitutional republic. It's more fit for a military dictator. So therefore, the Jesuits know that the population is apostate, know that it is ripe for a military dictator. So how are they going to bring this about? What's the final means by which they'll pull this off? I believe that with this attack into Iran, the intelligence community of this country, just like it did on 9/11 when it deliberately took down the World Trade Center, the Muslims did not do that, as I have always taught, that was most assuredly an inside job by the Pope's CIA, NSA, and all those other three-letter agencies composing what the 16 agencies of intelligence here. Just as they brought that down, they're going to bring down the Capitol building. The U.S. Capitol in the military district of Columbia. It's been the military district of Columbia since March 9, 1933, with Proclamation 2040. In the military district of Columbia, they're going to bring down the Capitol building. And they just might even have it full of congressmen. Who knows? And when they bring down that Capitol building, guess who's going to be blamed? As I've said for years, Iran. Iran will be blamed for the bringing down of the Capitol building. And there are American missiles in the Gulf states that have targeted Mecca and Medina. Now those are Sunni. And remember, the Shia are not allowed to visit those Sunni sites. The Sunni Muslims are not allowed to visit Mecca or Medina. They're not allowed to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. They are forbidden. They are considered infidels by the Sunnis. So, I maintain that those mosques will probably be allowed to stand for a while, but the Jerusalem Mosque, this Dome of the Rock, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque there are going to come down. And they're going to come down maybe in response to Iran blowing up the Capitol building or being blamed for it. So you blow up the American Capitol so the Congress can't sit there anymore. We're now going to declare martial law and have a commander-in-chief. And now we're going to take down the mosque in Jerusalem. Something like that. There'll be a series of events that will result in the destruction of the American Capitol and the destruction of the mosque in Jerusalem during this crusade, so that the Third Temple can be built and so that America can be given a military dictator. Finally, the dictator will arrive. And so there will be troops in the streets, there will be curfews, there won't be any more of this majority savage black-on-white crime anymore with the military in the streets. Because remember, the military government here has weaponized the blacks against the whites in this country to commit murder, rape, and robbery against us every day. And the white people being driven to desperation and not allowed to punish this crime, that's why they release these savages on us every time they commit these crimes, to drive us to desperation, to beg for somebody to come to our rescue. Hence, the military dictator and his arrival will be an answer to prayer, supposedly. This is how the Jesuit Camarilla, the Jesuit octopus with its many tentacles everywhere, does its bidding. It's a military order. And so this will ultimately drive Iran into the arms of Russia. Going to the topic now that Iran will be on the side of the Russians for the future Russian invasion of Israel. We read in Ezekiel chapter 38. By the way, this is chronological. We have the regathering of the nation of Israel in chapter 37. We have its attack in 38, in midweek of the 70th week of Daniel, just before midweek. Then in 39, we have the final attack of Russia, the destruction of the Russian horde, and chapter 40 then through 48, the coming of Messiah, the institution of the millennial kingdom, and him sitting on the throne of David in Ezekiel 43. So let's go to Ezekiel 48. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, I believe it is a clearer translation. Rather than you saying chief, he's the rush prince. The underlying Hebrew word is rush. He's the rush prince of Meshech and Tubal. He's the Russian prince of Moscow and Tobolsk, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And look who's with this Russian host. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer which is the Ukraine area. This is why Ukraine is going to lose the war. This is why Russia will ultimately win the war and absorb Ukraine, and it be under its orb as it was during the USSR. Except a lot of white men, the white patriotic Slavic Ukrainian men will have been killed because they dared resist the dictator about 10 years ago in Ukraine, driving him out, and so now they're getting punished for this. Knowing also that Putin and Zelensky worked together for the Pope in the murder of white Slavic men and women in Ukraine and Russia, deemed to be heretics according to the Council of Trent. So getting heretics to kill each other. So we read, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma. Togarma appears to be Turkey. So you have the Muslim world siding with Russia in this invasion. Gomer, Togarma of the North Quarters and all his bands and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. So we see Iran or Persia will be on the side of the Russian attack into Israel just prior to midweek, just prior before the final Pope of Rome is slain with a sword, rises from the dead, possessed by Satan, and goes down to the third Hebrew temple and demands to be worshipped as God. Because Israel will be at peace when Russia attacks. The way they're at peace is because of the covenant of Daniel 9:27, and that covenant, beginning the 70th week, will bring a temporary peace to Israel. There will be no peace in Israel. There will be no end of the Arab-Israeli conflict until the final Pope of Rome institutes a treaty, an international covenant for 7 years, and that begins the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel 9:27. Verse 8. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. So the people of Israel, we read in verse 16 of 38, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So the people living in Israel are Jews. They're Hebrew Jewish Israelites. So anybody telling you they're just fake Jews or supposed Jews living in Israel is denying the Bible in Ezekiel 38, he gathers back his own racial people under the Abrahamic covenant to live in a portion of their land. According to that verse, Ezekiel 38:16, my people Israel, and they're in the Lord's land that he gave to them, yet it's still his land, the land promise of the Abrahamic covenant. So we read, he attacks, he goes down into and invades, and what the Lord does, he says, verse 18, it shall come to pass at that same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. And I believe this is the Son of God, because all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. The Father has been propitiated, and everything that's being judged in mankind on the Lord's flat earth is being done by the risen Son of God at his right hand. Because whatever the Son of God does always pleases the Father. So, my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are on the face of the earth. Look at that. All the men that are upon the face of the earth. So the earth is a plain. It's not a globe. Shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. I believe that sword is another army, and it could very well be the army, a unified army of Europe or some other army. He calls for a sword against them. And every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord, that I am Jehovah. So I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, intervenes here with this huge attack, this huge Gentile attack that includes Iran or Persia, against his elect nation of Israel that is occupied by his racial people, and they're living in a portion of their land promise of Genesis 15. So, what's the end game for Persia, for Iran? Why, to be judged by the Lord when they align themselves with the Russians to invade Israel in about the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, just before the final Pope of Rome is killed, rises from the dead. So that's the end of Iran, or Persia. It may enter into the millennial kingdom, I don't know, but the Lord's going to judge that army according to Ezekiel 38. So, in summary, the war in Iran right now is orchestrated by the Pope and his crusaders, like Pete Hegseth, like Donald Trump, and others, and Scott Bessent, the head of the IRS and the head of the Treasury. This Scott Bessent is a very powerful man. All of these guys are papal crusaders. And they're crusading against Iran to neutralize it so that it will not be a threat against the Lord's beloved Hebrew, Jewish, Israelites people living there, but also it will not be a threat against the government, the Labor Zionist government, of the Pope running the revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. You with me, everybody? And so after this war, Iran will no longer be a threat. And there'll be peace for a temporary peace for the people of Israel, which would be a good thing for them. But just remember, it's for the benefit of the Pope of Rome, ultimately, so that when this war is over and the Jerusalem Mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Dome of the Rock on that Temple Mount that's been deeded to the papacy since 1993, when those mosques are destroyed, now the third Hebrew temple can be built. And from my connections, I understand that all the stones of the Hebrew temple, the third temple, have already been cut away from the site. All they have to do is move the stones in place and build the temple on stone upon stone. And then the gold that's in the Federal Reserve Bank in New York will be brought over to the Middle East there. And the gold, that gold, I believe, will be used to garnish the third Hebrew temple, so that in the end, during the 70th week of Daniel in the Great Tribulation, the Jews can be blamed for stealing the world's gold, and they put it on the third Hebrew temple. Which may be a reason why the Pope says, well, you Jews stole all the gold. Well, I'm going to sit in my third Hebrew temple and I'll enjoy it. Something like that. But don't you think for one second that those 660,000 gold bars in the Federal Reserve vault in New York City are not going to be used for the third Hebrew temple. They most assuredly will be. This will be Satan's most gorgeous, most beautiful temple that he has ever had a hand in building, and yet the Lord still calls it the temple of God in Revelation 11:1. Because it's in this temple of God that Satan will sit, possessing the Antichrist, the final Pope of Rome, slain with the sword, risen from the dead, to rule all nations for 42 months. That'll be his religious capital. And then he'll leave that religious capital. His Jewish false prophet will erect a statue that can talk and put it in there. And then the beast will go to Babylon as his world capital, commercial, and political city that's being built at this time. the building of Babylon, the building of Jerusalem, and the building of the third Hebrew temple, all in the making, pursuant to a literal reading of the prophecies of Scripture. So in conclusion, let none of these things move you. The Lord Jesus Christ still has all authority in heaven and in earth. This war evidences it. And when the smoke clears after his second coming and his destruction of the armies of the earth, as they make their final last mad attempt to destroy every Jew living in Israel, he will then institute his millennial kingdom, sitting on the throne of David to rule all nations with a rod of iron, exactly as Isaiah 2 says he will and Luke chapter 1. He is the seed, and it's the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. He's already done his sufferings on earth, and now he's going to come for his glories on earth, when he sits on the earthly throne of David in the earthly city of Jerusalem, building the earthly fourth Hebrew temple, Ezekiel 40 through 48. And that'll be the consummation of the history of man, 1,000 years being ruled over by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect, who cannot sin, who never sinned, and he cannot die. He's sinless and he can't die and he can't be overpowered. What a wonderful day that'll be. So in conclusion, I trust that you have some insight into this war against Iran. And may the Lord not allow you to be deceived by a host of false reporting or theories that don't match the literal reading of the prophecies of the Word of God. Send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073, or send to Cash App, which is cashtag Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S, or you can send a check the old-fashioned way to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. So until the next time we meet, may the Lord bless you as you do his will according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible.